Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
This love is indescribable. Limitless in its dimension. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this precious love revealed in your Son, revealed in your Word, revealed in your Spirit, revealed through time and space, revealed in the things that we see around. Father, we thank you. Father, this morning, speak through me. Give me boldness and give me utterance by your Spirit. Lord, I ask that in this service, by the instrument of your love, burdens are lifted, clarity comes, hearts are open to respond to you in the name of Jesus. Father, give us a heart of flesh. Remove the stony hearts and give us a heart of flesh. That this morning, the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts may become experiential in each and every one of our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Good morning, church. What a wonderful service. It has started on a high note, and having begun in the Spirit, we will go deeper in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So last Sunday, John began the series, The Law of Love. I think when they posted that and I saw The Law of Love, the first thing that came to my mind as a science student, you know, the law of aerodynamics, the law of all those laws. And I began to think about it. What is the law of love? You know, do unto others as you will have them do to you. That's like a very key mantra in life. But that's not the law of love. So Elder John began to teach on this series, and he thought about the boundless, the limitless love of God. And he said, for me, one of the key things was he said this love was revealed in the person of Jesus. His coming, his death on the cross. But that's Sunday. He opened my eyes to something else. And he said that forever, even through all eternity, Jesus will be seated as man, clothed in flesh, in humanity. And for us, I mean, for me particularly, that's some indescribable love. But what the revelation of this love seeks to do is to get a response from us. It calls for a feedback. How do you respond to the revelation of this love revealed in the Son? Scripture tells us in 1 John 4:8 that whoever does not love God does not love, does not know God, because God is love. Hallelujah. God is love. When Pastor was with us, there's something he used to say time and again. He said the only thing you can use to qualify God, that you can use to successfully interchange the name of God everywhere you see God, is love. God is love. So that defines the character of who God is. Hallelujah. So on Tuesday, after Pastor Chisholm had told me I'll be preaching this Sunday, on Tuesday I was speaking to my younger sister. She had called me to know in this season of fasting and all that, how she should go about fasting for a week and what things she could do. So, you know, while we're discussing, she told me about a prayer platform she has been following. And she said, so recently I was following the broadcast, and then the man of God said, I see in a vision an amputee. God said to me, your leg will grow back. And at that point, she lost it. So she tuned off and said, never again. Why? She didn't understand why the man would make such audacious claim that was impossible. And by the way, she's a nurse. So I asked her, I don't understand. And so because of that, you're not joining the prayer. And she said, yes, that's in Nigeria, anything just goes. The radical, that people are just rascals that can even make such an exaggerated claim. And you know, so I asked her, okay, being a science student and the knowledge of, little knowledge of science, I spoke about the earthworm and then I spoke about the working of the planetary system. So I asked her, the sun can take about 10 times the earth. And she said, yes. I said, so this huge ball of fire hangs over space, hangs in space without anything holding it in place. The gravity pulls everything down, but for some reason, through time, from the time began, sun hasn't come down yet, hasn't swallowed the earth, hasn't clashed with other planetary bodies. And who keeps it running? And she said, God. I said, okay. And then the earthworm, if you look at how the earthworm is structured, and then you look at man, we are taught in science that every living thing, you know, has Mr. Dinanja, right? They can move, they can breathe, they can do all of those functions. And that includes the earthworm. I said, but when you pick a little earthworm, it's just this very random thread-like thing. And you are telling me that everything in man can be seen in that earthworm. And by the power of who? See, God. I said, I think it's more probable to believe a leg can grow than to believe the sun could hang over earth and then an earthworm can do all the functions a man can do. I said, but listen to this. The Bible said a tree hewn dead, a stump at the scent of water buds again. And this is a tree without faith. That has no ability to, you know, pull faith, to draw faith and say, I'm waiting for rain. Once rain come, I'm going to grow again. But the Bible said at the scent of water, it speaks about the omnipotence of our God. But while we're not here to speak about that, it's all encapsulated in the love of the Father, in the love of God, knowing the love of the one who made us, who called us outside of time, into time, to represent him here on earth. I like the prayer Jedi made, you know? It talks about how man has come into earth and has slowed down. That we didn't come to earth to conform. We came to dominate. We came to earth. We were sent to earth to show how heaven can be in reality. But when we came to earth, by some form of attrition, by some form of conditioning, mind shifts, we have conditioned ourselves to our environment. And that's not for the children of God. For a God who so loves, who gave out of all he has, became flesh, and will remain flesh through all eternity, to die for you and I, and then to show us this indescribable love. We have been called to live a life that is whole, that Zoe life, that breaks impossibility. Hallelujah. So I said to my sister, you see this kind of faith you have, that's the type of faith I want. You know, Ifoma keeps saying something. Say, the people who don't know God, you people are bold, and I'll always laugh at that. You know, on Tuesday, just confirmed to me that without the knowledge of God, it becomes difficult for anyone to truly say they love. And in earth, the greatest force on earth is love. The greatest power on earth is love. So is sin. Sin is the greatest force on the other side. On earth, the biggest problem man has on earth is sin. But love conquers all of it. And that's the love we have come to describe. So this morning, I'll be teaching on loving God. Hallelujah. And after my conversation with my sister, my message just took a different tone because this wasn't what I wanted to talk about. So I began to journey in that. And I began to ask myself, you know, Hosea 6:3, let me read from, okay, I have the ESV written out here. It said, let us know God. Let us press on to know the Lord. So after my conversation, it became apparent that God wants each and every one of us to seek Him. And not just to seek Him, but to press. You see, this Hosea says, let us know the Lord. Let us know. Then let us pursue. Let us be, you know, let us be persistent. Let us press in to know God. So it's not just enough that we come to church on Sunday, then we hear, then we cover our Bibles and our book for 1 week. No, when you leave, you have actually been handed a tool to go throughout the week and press in. To go precept upon precept, to press into God. He said, let us know God and then let us press into know God. Hallelujah. And so my journey began. And then when I began to consider scripture, I looked at, let me open to Genesis 5. Wait, I have them actually printed out, so that won't be going through my, pardon me. So I have Genesis 5:24. So in the book of Genesis chapter 5, it began to talk about the genealogy of Adam to Noah. It says Adam begat Seth. So it didn't talk about Cain and Abel. So here it said Adam begat Seth. And then Seth begat Enosh. And then people started again to call on the name of the Lord. When Adam had Abel and Cain, people were not calling on the name of the Lord. When he had his son Seth, he was given a name, God has comforted me or something. But when Seth had Enosh, probably heard from the dad, the things that had, he had lived in the garden until that time. So when he gave his birth to his son, he called him, you know, people began to seek the Lord. Then guess what? In chapter 5, all through this genealogy, from verse 2, where Seth begat Enosh, to Genesis 24, nobody pressed into God. It was sufficient that the knowledge of God was just hanging out there. Nobody pressed into God. Then in a turn, a significant shift in events, the Bible recorded Enoch walked with God. Before the 24th verse, he had spoken about Enoch. He had married and he had begun sons and daughters. And then he walked with God for 300 years. It was casually stated in 22 and 23. Then in 24, there was a significant shift. And it says, Enoch walked faithfully with God. And he was not because God took him. He pressed so much into God. He married. He gave birth to sons and daughters. He had the limitations we are plagued with today. He had to fend for that family. But with that, he was still pressing in unto God. And then he pressed in so much so that the Bible recorded for 300 years a man walked with God. He never tired. We were not shown, we were not told how that, you know, mighty things were wrought in their life. How God did. No, it's just that he consistently, he was okay to walk with God and to just know dimension by dimension every day of this loving God. We have all gathered here and so will our lives be. And the story of our lives are still unfolding and will be written. And it will be said of us, Claire came, married and had children. And the days of her life were 150. Wow. Oh yeah, thank you. Then her daughter came. And we can have all of those stories about each and every one of us until someone turns around and says no and make a press into God. And then the Bible, that was talking about genealogy, stops and say, this is remarkable. And guess what? It's only two people in the Bible that the Bible described that didn't pass through death. Enoch and Elijah. The Bible records that we will not all be changed. that some of us will appear on that resurrection day. If Jesus doesn't tarry, when he comes, some of us won't die. We will just change. We'll be transformed. Enoch pressed so much so that he lived post Jesus in an era where Jesus hadn't come. And I pray that as we listen today, because I think everybody say, okay, how do we love God? You know, as the sermon goes on, someone will make it that turn in their life and say, I will press in. Hallelujah. Then in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 4 verses 10, it talks about the man Jabez. And 1 Chronicles 4 began to talk about the genealogy of Judah. Hallelujah. When Jedi was praying and he said, let the tribe of Judah go first. God meant, let praise go first. So for a people who are called praise, for a people who are called to worship, their genealogy began. And he talked about who had who and who had who. And then 10 chapters after, he says, Jabez cried out to God. Someone again pressed in and said, I have seen a deficiency in our life. We are named after our birth. We are named after the conditions of our birth. We are named our parents for whatever it is they go through. Our names come from that pain, comes from that anger, comes from whatever it is they go through. But I can turn the narrative. And that Jabez cried to God. He said, oh, that you will bless me. We are not a man, we are not a people who are blessed, but oh, that you will bless me. And he pressed in. And the Bible says his request was granted by God. Hallelujah. This shows that loving God is very intentional. It's an intentional pursuit. And it's not something we just, you know, passively do. Because I'm a Christian, you know, therefore my children are Christian. They come to church. But that's not how it is in the kingdom. God has called us to know how things work in the kingdom. That my parents were Christian does not automatically make me. Actually makes me a passive Christian until I press in, until there is a pursuit from my end. Hallelujah. Then Ephesians 3:19, I would like to read from the TPT. Please, if you have Ephesians 3:19. Please put it on the NIV. Ephesians 3:19. Please use the NIV media. But I want to read from TPT. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all his dimension. How deeply intimate and far reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's not just saying that the love of God is too high that we cannot understand it. It's just saying that when you consider the love of God, when you really sit down and think about this love, that the measurement of this love is far-reaching, is limitless, is boundless. It transcends time and space. You know, when the Bible said the 24 elders shout holy, holy, they bow down and they say holy, holy, it's because every time they raise their head, there's a dimension of love they see. You know, even eternity will not be able to see, to finish the love of God. And so he's talking about this love that surpasses knowledge. That no matter the knowledge you come to acquire, love will surpass it. That no matter how gifted, how good you are in every field of endeavor, the love of God will surpass the zenith of your knowledge. And this is the love he's asking us to come to know. That surpasses everything in this natural realm. Hallelujah. So I'm going to be looking at aspects of loving God. how do we begin to develop this, you know, love, this craving to love God? I gave it an acronym. And when I was preaching to Amanda, you know, we started tweaking the acronyms. So it's COA. And she was like, will people remember? Can't it be COD? Where A is action and she feels it can be do. So but acronym, the one you remember works. It could be COD, it could be COI, you know. So the first one here would be that it's a commandment. We are commanded to love. It's not a suggestion. We are commanded to love. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But I like how the TPT puts it. It says, loving me empowers you to obey my commandments. The loving God, the desire, because you can be asking, how do I love God if I don't know him? All of God has been given to us in the Bible, in scripture. By just reading the scripture and knowing how God works, how the kingdom works, and applying our hearts to it, TPT says, it empowers me to then obey. That my only response when I know, when I press into God, will be that his commandment will become easy. And you know, if we go to Psalm 119, Jedi, you read from 119, or you just made a passing, fantastic, you know, chapter of the Bible. Psalm 119. Let me just read the first few verses. Do you have them? Yeah. From verse 1. You are only truly happy when you walk in total integrity, walking in the light of God's word. Please, I would like it in the NIV. Thank you. Let me just read from the NIV. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their hearts. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. That God has put down commandments that he expects to be fully obeyed. And down Psalm 119, he says, when I compare my life existentially, how I have lived here on earth, to the commandments of the Lord, and he's asking a question, will you be ashamed? That when you compare your life against this commandment, and you know, I think in Psalm 19 says, you know, your laws are perfect. It converts the soul. So for us as believers, we have been caught to a life of cheat codes. You know, some of the buzzword in tech now is, what's the cheat code? What's the way? You know, they are not shortcuts, but they are shorter way to get, you know, they are productivity ways to get to what you want to do quicker. For us as believers, the life of love is a cheat code for us. It's that God says to us, this is life and this is death. Then he calls you, come close. You come close and he tells you, choose life. Wow. So you're in an exam hall, you're taking an exam, right? And you're supposed to, because you don't know that, do to boom, you know, and just choose anything that comes to mind. But God says to you, come closer. Come a little higher. And then you step a foot forward. You haven't even moved. You just put a foot forward. And he says, choose life. Who wants to be a millionaire? The 10 million naira question. And he says, choose life. He says, there are two paths to life. The narrow and the wide. Walk on the narrow. Scripture is replete of how God instructs his children. And David, looking at this, he said, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Because by him I can run against the troop. He said, because then I can access a knowledge from him that can make me invincible. That can make an ordinary man supernatural here on earth. So when we do birthdays and we say, and people say on their statuses, to know you is to love you, it's not an original birthday text. It existed in God that to know him is to love him. And he lures us with that love because scripture tells us he first loved us. He first showed us how to love. So that no one can claim they do not know how. So he shows us the way. He leads the way. Every way you will follow as a child of God, God is already in front. You just need to look a little well. Except you're following the path of unrighteousness. So God calls us to total devotion. That in obeying him is that you seek with all of you all that the kingdom is about. Is to know how God's kingdom work. And when I was looking at this verse, that scripture in Matthew, where the Pharisees had come to him to ask, so one brother married one woman, then he died. And it's amazing to know that the sect that came to Jesus do not believe in heaven or in resurrection. But then they had question about something they did not believe in. So they said to him, seven brothers, all seven married this woman and all seven died. And I'm thinking it can't be Nigeria, no way. After the third one, we're shutting it down. Not marrying nobody in this house. I mean, no. But all seven, for some reason, married this woman. And then they all died. And say, whose wife? And then Jesus answered them. He said, you err. You are mistaken because you don't know how the kingdom of God works. Neither do you know the power of God. That I am the resurrection and the life. See, they are not given into in marriage in heaven. But even if they were, they said, the one who is called the resurrection and the life. He said, so you don't understand how the system of God works. And God is saying the same thing to us. That we don't understand how the system of God works. Last year, there was a lot of dealing from God with me in the area of the body. And I think I was just always sharing with Pastor Chisholm. And every so often, something will come, a word will come, and he will be talking about the body, even though that word doesn't expressly talk about the body. And he was just making me see how truly God's system works. That as we are seated here, we're a powerhouse. There's shame on us that someone is sick here. The shame on us that someone is defeated in our midst. The shame on us. Why? Because we have not pressed in enough to make that significant shift. And to say Enoch walked with God, Pastor Chisholm walked with God, and then she came into this place. Diseases flee. That when we come in as light that we are in a darkened room, there's nothing we would do other than to give light. If this whole place was dark and it was pitch dark and you put a single touch of light from your phone, you know you will see to an essence. Then imagine every one of us turn on the lights. And God is saying, because you do not understand how the system works, you are still plagued with that which plagues humanity. You are still plagued. By that which plagues the common man. And I know it's a dealing in progression. Because God is calling us to step a little higher. To step a little higher. To step a little higher. To make that significant shift away from the norm. And that will be the testimony of the Cornerstone Church. That will be a people of prayer, praise, and worship. That before us, everything not ordained by heaven will bow in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
So Deuteronomy 6:5.
If we can get that, but I want to read the Amplified. See, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, your entire being. Everything you are, everything you were, past, present, future, is to be used to love God. My neighbor is here today. So recently, her son was ill. And then she came to me. And, you know, I prayed the first time, prayed the second time, and, you know, and I went back and I inquired of God. Why? This is a foundation class issue. This is a day I believe issue. Why? Why won't sickness flee at my presence? And why I didn't get any answer, I just told her, we'll keep pressing, we'll keep pressing. To the glory of God, there is an end, there is an end to that season in Jesus' name. And then, you know, when I'm on my own and I think about that, I would just wonder what would be going through her mind. That this mommy Zara safe. Every time she's playing messages. Every time. I've never come to see her and she's dancing Lue Lue. And small sickness like this, she didn't do anything. You know, and be giving me this bombastic side eye. When I ask her, you're not coming to church on Sunday? And she'll be looking at me like... But I think about that. And every time I think about it, I press a little into God. Even if it's just for 5 seconds. I say, God, there's a gap in my existence. There is a gap. I cannot have a son. Like I'm literally like a grandma to these children. How they love me. And then I'm moved by compassion because by the way they respond to you, first of all, I'm truly like a grandma to them. Truly. So there's this love already going on before the issue came up. Then when the issue came up, compassion well up in me. And nothing happened. Ah. And I said no. The days are coming when these hands will raise the dead. And I keep declaring it to myself. So recently I was talking to my children. Now I have like 4 children in the house. So I was talking to them. And the scriptures say, be strong and love God. He wasn't talking anything about healing. And I said to them, do you know how you can be strong? The second boy in the house has a swollen knee. I said, do you know how you can be strong? When this person beats you, don't beat back. Come and tell me. Or bless them. Say you are blessed. Say, don't beat with that hand that will raise the dead. So that's what they say in the house now. So what we're doing with that is everybody, put your hand on that leg. And they all put their hand on that leg. Be healed. Be healed. 4 people be healed. The good thing was that the day before when I had taken them to school, the teacher called my attention. See this leg. Madam, you're supposed to be rubbing oil, red oil, so that the mouth will come out, it's boiled. I said, thank you, ma. So it was this my neighbor I collected red oil from. So I'd rubbed it the night before, right? Then morning we prayed, be healed. Then we rubbed the oil, they went to school. So in the evening when I went to pick, the boiled mouth was showing. And something wanted to say is the red oil, a full vex. If you see the holy anger that arose, which red oil? It is the prayer we made. So I gathered them and said, come, the result of your prayer has been answered. But you know, they were thinking the knee should go. So they were wondering, it hasn't gone now. I said, the mouth, this thing that has come out here now, is proof of our prayer. Yeah? Everybody another hand. Then we forgot this morning again before we came to church. One of them called me and said, I had a nightmare in this house. What nightmare? See, a lion entered the house and then a king followed him and entered the house. And the lion and the king started saying, no, they didn't fight. You added cartoon to that. Say if a lion entered the house and a king follows Jesus, the same person.
Let's not go far. So it was Jesus that entered.
I said, why will a lion appear in your dream? With a king. It's an ordination. You are a man of God now. So when I finished that small sermon, I said, oh yeah, on the other hand, let's pray for this leg. Let's begin to do the work of our ordination. You have just been ordained. So I told every one of them, when you are dreaming, you see the quality of the dream. Man of God is dreaming. Oh yeah, pull hand. So we prayed for the leg again before we came. In short, when I wanted to put the oil, I said, no, this oil is challenging me. It's challenging me. You will not take glory. So I left it. Hallelujah. And by the time we came down from the car, I said, Mom, this leg is not paining me so much. In short, the way he came down from the car, he has actually been walking. No. It's a big pain. But the way I knew he wasn't just doing show off. God is at work. Hallelujah. So we ought to teach our children these things, that they are not ordinary. Because now that they are small, they are more supernatural than the ordinary. So please don't slow them down. Tell them the impossible is nothing. So the second is obedience. You know, we say C-O-D. Obedience. The proof of love is obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. He who has my commandments and keep them, John 14:21 says, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself in him. The one who keeps my commandments. So it's not enough that we have these rules, these laws. It's that we are obedient to them. And passive obedience or delayed obedience is considered in the kingdom as disobedience. So you see, why we are called soldier is that there is a call of duty on our lives. That when soldiers to earthly men say, come, and they no burn you to saw gun ever chop. It is only us believers who do that. That God calls us. That there is a fast. You say, no. We are not soldiers. You don't know your rank. You don't know where you belong to. Because if you were enlisted in the Nigerian military academy, they don't burn you well. Your oga can be smaller than you are. You can be richer than your boss. But when he says, as a matter of fact, I think I've heard Pastor Bank in one of his preaching, because he said he worked in a military hospital, that you could be playing the last hand to win the chairs, and you see your boss. You cited him, he has not got him. You stand and he's wondering. And sometimes with the way they stand, you know, it topples the chairs board. And that's the person winning, that could have said, if your guy won't do anything, may do one today, I'll go win these chairs. It's only believers that do things like that. That God says, turn back, and you say, I'm about to collect this, go back. Say, but we want to use it to serve the kingdom. We want to use it for benevolence. Why you are already collecting it? It's only believers that tends to be like a Jessica when it comes to God. And when he says go, we bring every excuse in the book not to either go or to delay it for an hour to finish up what we are doing. They say the average soldier, when it's wartime, goes with just a backpack. That backpack is in your back. If you are there for 2 months, all the clothes you need, the food you need, inside a backpack. So when Paul likened us to soldiers, he wasn't just speaking because he had no other thing to qualify us with. That's the nature of the duty we have been called to. Hallelujah. And by God, we will respond absolutely the way God wants us to respond, as kingdom soldiers in the name of Jesus. So Jesus made it clear that love for God is proven through obedience. He spoke about David. He said, I have found a man after my heart that will do all. And so we look at David's life sometimes and we say, what did God see for this guy? It's that before he ever ascended the throne, there was a testimony from God about him. That this one will do everything. He can live carelessly, not when I see. The moment he hears my voice, he can look for Uriah's wife and marry her. But when I call, he leaves everything and he attends to the king's call. And Paul, speaking to a congregation, quoted the book of Samuel and said, God spoke about David, that he has found a man after his heart. The call to obey. The call to obey. We have heard the charge 3 or 4 times about immorality, about how we are to live our life as one called in consecration and sanctification, as ones whose vessels will be used by God. And when I began to think something in that line this morning, as I was just going through my outline again, and then I could hear in my spirit that when we say, when the Bible says, he that is born of God cannot sin. The one that is born of God cannot sin. That it's true, it talks about the spirit man. It doesn't talk about the flesh. So we make excuse and say it is my flesh that sinned. It is that I fell. And that word said to me, if you will live from the place of your spirit, you will not gratify the flesh. To the end, a mortal man can live above sin. That when you realize that you have been called to a life of holiness, that when Pastor Nkem was praying yesterday morning, he talked about vessels of honor. That if you must be a vessel in sanctification and in honor, is that you can't live out of your flesh. You can't let the vicissitudes of life determine how you would live. Is that you know that your spirit man cannot sin. Therefore, it becomes the powerhouse by which you live. The life that I live, I no longer live in flesh, but I live by faith in Christ Jesus who died for me. That you will no longer make excuse. Today I lie, tomorrow I cheated. And then we say, you know, Gofide Nigeria, may you know do one of these things. That's where you just be now. If you go government offices, you must give bribe. So just prepare your mind. You must sort in school. You must do this. So we have all those taglines we have used to slow ourselves down. We have used to make ourselves more relevant here on earth, denying the power of God. So we do not know how God's system works, neither do we know the power of the one who has called us. Hallelujah. So we can live a life of true obedience when we know what powers our realities. Hallelujah. So the third one is action or do. We are doers. It's one of our creed in church that we're not just hearers, we're doers. Love requires action. And you see, love is an action word, is a noun, is a verb, you know, is a proposition, is a preposition. Love is all of those things. It's an adjective. Love can fit into any one of them. It's very dynamic. But love is a decision. It's not just an emotion. It's a decision. And that decision leads us to action. Calls us to action. What manner of people should we be? Ought we become? If we know that God so died for us and gave us everything and held nothing back. Who are we supposed to be? What will be our response to God? So Matthew 6:33 says, seek the Lord. But I like the message rendition of it. It was one of the prayer we took on Sunday. It says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. FOMO, don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Say, steep your life. You know what it means to steep? Brew is hot. Increase the tempo. Press in. When you steep a tea, is that you have boiled the water. It has reached boiling point. And then you put the tea bag in the cup. So God is telling us here in Matthew 6:33, he says, steep your life the same way you will steep a bag of tea. Steep your life in God's reality, in God's initiative. Do not let a day go by. When Jedi was talking about the Bible challenge, don't think you are too quiet, you are too cool. Well, you've read the Bible 50 times. There's something God wants to say to you now that we're doing it corporately. There's something he has for you that will impact the body. And that impacting the body is not that we all gather and everybody sharing, okay, I learned Matthew 1. This is, no, is that wherever you are reading your own, we are drawing strength. We are drawing strength. If you leave Jedi here today, 3 o'clock, we have not finished that prayer. How did a man become that strong in prayer? Right? We ought to ask ourselves this question. We shouldn't be looking at time and say, ah, time don't go, make it quickly now. It's to ask, can I do the same if I were called? Hallelujah. Steep your life in God's initiatives. Matthew 6 flows from Matthew 5, where God, Jesus, was talking about the Beatitudes, and he was actually literally talking about how the kingdom works. He talked about every manner of thing. They have said to you, do this, if they do this to you. But I say to you, if they slap you, turn the other cheek. They have said that, curse those who curse you. But have come to say, bless those who curse you. Those who despitefully use you, pray for them. So it was a series of the Sermon on the Mount Jesus was taking. Then he gets here and he says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The kingdom of God and its expansion. Seek first the kingdom of God and how it would be expanded, how it would be advanced. How is the kingdom of God being advanced in your home, advanced in your environment, in your business, in your career, in school, in everything you do? The Bible says seek that first, the advancement of God's kingdom, the build of righteousness into every area God has called you into. This year is a year of fruitfulness. And Pastor Chisholm said, when she was praying about it, a garden was shown to her. But that in that garden, your effort is required. That you have been called to tilling. You have been called to planting. You have been called to water. The increase leave to God. So we are not seeking fruitfulness when we do not want to plant and we do not want to till. So we have been called to press in. Press in. And for those who press in, Daniel says, in Daniel it said, they that know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. The people who know their God, not the God you have heard from another person. So when the sons of Sceva came to chase a demoniac, the demon asked, say, who are you? The life does not ask you, who are you? When you challenge life, it's that you know your God, you are strong in the day of battle, and then the resultant effect will be exploits. Hallelujah. So, in making the decision, the action to love, I want to just bring 2 points under that. Is that love has no plan B. You know, we are a people who love plan B. We may not say it, but we are a people who actually have plan B for everything. Manke Mero. We have that. When I say, God, hey, my life has, maybe I'm not panicking, but I'm like, oh God, oh, it's time for that bill again. Lord, help me. Yeah. I'm thinking of my brother to quickly call. Check that light, check that light. 3 units. And then you're praying, God, God, check. 0.4 units. Ah, bros, see, my fan, how you day? Ah, they fine, no, ah, okay. As you are talking, he just chips in, ah, now they do say, my dear, you know, Nigeria, and it's not true, I even think, say, my send you something. You know when you call, something will drop. You didn't make that call to just greet. We always have subtle plan Bs. We may not say them, because we think that when it hits zero, God is never on time. And the Bible says that it is when we judge time, we think he's late. It is when we have allotted time to ourselves that we think God is late. And so the season of my life came mid last year, and God has said to me, don't talk about your matter to anyone, even my brother. On their own, now they should know. In my mind, I don't have a plan B, but in my mind, they should know now that somebody needs something. Okay, because when God did not say it, they knew. Do you understand? So I was quick to say, Father, yeah, I'll go the hall with you. I'll go the mile with you. In my mind, they know. And then when God said it, he put it in their heart to forget. And then one out of nowhere, I won't go to school, I don't want to work again. No, all these things cannot be happening now. So when God said about Joseph, when the scripture said about Joseph, they forgot. You know that was his plan B. So he told that one, guy, you that they will not kill. I'll be your guy, you, they won't kill you. When then they kill the other guy, no say my word, not true. You know, he told that guy, convinced himself that guy was going to come true for him. He didn't know God had gone ahead of him and told the guy, forget him. So I will be in dire need like this. And I'll be like, yeah, God, we're following you. In my mind, it's not possible. They call me now. If I show you my phone long, it will shock you. Nobody will call me. Nobody will remember me. Even when I call, this one, I might call you back. They won't call back. Oh dear, dear for you. God meant it that you will learn to depend on him. And guess what? The first day I put out my faith in that submission, I have not looked back. Because it's not only that God is steady in season and out of season. It's not only that he does not delay. It's that he's God. Is that in the times it does not even come true the way I look for true. The way I seek to get true. The way I seek for him to come true. I am not lacking. I have never been found lacking. Father, I give you praise. That will be the testimony, because I know God speaks to our hearts, but our plan Bs don't let us see. That every plan B we have, all those idols we have raised, that will lay down those crowns and surrender and submit to the one who alone is sufficient, in the name of Jesus. So look at Peter. After Jesus has said to him, you will deny me. Say, for that will not deny me. I will go. I will reach the cross. Whatever they do, they will, as they are doing it to you, they will do it to me. As they are crucifying you here, it is me and them all. Jesus said, Peter, calm down. He said, no. And you know, Peter was vocal leading to the death of Jesus. Come, you will not die. What is this death that has overtaken you? Or you will not go to that Jerusalem. And I think Peter was older than Jesus. So, this your own done too much. Ministry will just end, we never start. So when Jesus said to him, you would deny me 3 times before the cock crow twice. He felt Jesus didn't know him enough. You know, there's something someone will say about you. Say, child, this person don't know me. Oh. Hey, not me. I don't suffer. Peter felt that way, that Jesus didn't know him. And when God wanted to make diviners mad, he was a small girl. Like, come, you look like them. Jesus didn't use a soldier. Like, every time I read that scripture, I'll be like, Jesus, why? Because Peter didn't have a plan B. He had actually burnt others. But that day, plan B resurrected. Because when he thought about it, why wasn't it a soldier carrying a gun? At least when I deny, I saw my own gun. Now Jesus called my sword. That's why man need to use bread. I mean, this is a small girl. And the other one said, no, I think I know him. Yeah, you used to go with them. Peter started cursing. The Bible says he started cursing the third time. God forbid, I don't know the man. What do you mean? Eh? Wow. And at that time, the cock too that could have been picking on grain crowed. He didn't even wait. He made the counsels of the divine as mad. So when Peter considered it, thought about his life, he resurrected his plan. He said, what does fish do? I can still fish. So he went back to fishing. And Jesus met him there and said to him, do you love me? 3 times Jesus asked him. And Jesus used the word, do you agape me? When you are called to pray sometimes, just Google will help you, you know? What's this Greek word? The love, is it the same thing? No, it's not the same. Jesus used agape, the God kind of love, the highest type of love known to all of creation, spirit and man. But when Peter responded, he said, I feel you. At the time, I can only love you as much as a man can love. It was no longer the Peter that was saying, they crucify, I will crucify. He had been humbled by life. So let our boast only be in God. So when Jesus asked him a third time, he said, you know, let's not go the drama of you will deny me again, because I can sense that's where you are. This is where it's leading. You won't tell me how at a mess up, bar. This is where it's leading. So you know, Peter that knew before, I go die. Peter said, now you know. I don't know. And then on Pentecost Day, why they waited? Like cloven tongues, the Spirit descended on him. And that same Peter, who had been shaken to the smallest fiber of his being, came out that day declaring, and they said, these men are drunk, and he said, no. And every time they asked a question, he said, no, that's Jesus you killed. He said he was doing it small. Me, I will so do it. He said, that same Jesus you killed, the Father resurrected. At this point in time, it was a crime to actually suggest that Jesus' body did not go missing. And when I look at believers today, I'm wondering, because I read that they were doing this thing in that same temple. Yet the Pharisees and the Sadducees camped. That was their domain. That was where Peter was preaching. Peter was not preaching in the mountain. He was not using his boat on this day. He was in the upper room, very close to the holies of holies. And he was declaring, that Jesus you killed. Something in the whole of Israel that should not be said. Because money had gone out, story had gone out, that they stole his body. And Peter dead. And many of them did not believe in resurrection. So Peter was actually, what do they call that thing that make them stone people? If apostasy or whatever. Blasphemy. Peter was blaspheming, as it were, in their tradition. How can you make such claim? You people stole the body. Peter said no. Why didn't they touch him that day? They knew he had contacted something. They knew this was not the same man, a little girl, Kamekawa. They knew this was no longer the Peter that ran away when a little girl asked a question. They knew something had come over him. And they said, are these men not illiterate? Say, no, they had been with that rascal, Jesus. Until your life is radical. So when I look at scripture and the Acts of the Apostle, and I see that after the resurrection of Jesus, this man defiled that temple by saying blasphemous words. And then we look at church today. We are scared in the face of nothing that's even oppression. Nothing that calls for us to be killed. But we cower. The word comes out and they declare, hey, we are gay. A believer can say I'm Christ's. A believer can say I'm a believer. People come out, there was a trend recently, I think it started on Thursday, about cohabiting. And people who you will see on their bio, God girl, Jesus boy, are like, you go learn if you know cohabit. You will learn by experience. You will learn by force. And then some, their name already indicts them. Mary, Timothy, their Christian name. So you know they're Christians. I'm not saying everybody with that name, but I'm saying that because you bear such name, you should be careful. But where then we run with the word? Through attrition, what the word has done to us is that it has slowed us down. It has naturalized us. So that the things that in before, people will look, the disciples will look and say, these things cannot be mentioned among Gentiles. These days, we mention them in our midst. We practice them, we know, we past mentioning in our midst. It slows us down. It makes us of people devoid of power. A people who say and we cannot perform. We have called existentially to be like our Father. The Bible says concerning him, he speaks a word and it comes to pass. You and I ought to speak and then we'll see it come to pass. We don't give no thoughts to read because when we say, we know it has gone forth, it will be. But then we speak and nothing happens. And men look at us and wonder why we are defeated. Hallelujah. As I close, the desire to grow. Peter, 1 Peter 2:2, Peter was speaking to the church. He said, like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word of God. Desire the sincere milk so that you can grow by it. It starts with a desire. It starts with a desire. To know God, to press into God, to know how the system works, how the kingdom works. It begins with a desire that all of God, that all you have for me, Lord, I will be in 2025. I have played with the years gone by, but it remains there. In this new year, I step into a season where my life will testify that I'm a doer of the things you say. Hallelujah. And then 2 Peter 3:18, I'm reading for NIV, it says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to prioritize knowing God. Our topic for today is loving God, but I have taken time to talk about knowing God. Because to know him truly is to love him. Our only response to the knowledge of God that surpasses every knowledge that can be acquired. I am not saying in your field of endeavor, stop at that. No, desire the zenith. But I'm saying that with the love of God, not with the love of, you know, sometimes we can place these things before the love of God. But with the love of God, reach the zenith in every area you have been called to. With the love of God that surpasses all knowledge, reach the zenith of whatever it is God has called you to as a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, as a child, as one called in ministry, in business, in career, reach the zenith. But let it be that your soul is flourishing. Hallelujah. So as I round up, if you're in this service and you're that honest man that will say, I have not pressed in as I ought to have pressed in. I'm still at a stage where I am begged, where I'm cajoled. Men will not cajole you as much as Jesus will. Let me tell you, every time you hear a sermon, it is God's pull to you. It is that God is luring you. It's God is saying, come a little higher. Come a while with me. Men will not do that with you. Men will not ever be pleading with you. But Jesus does that time and again when you hear a sermon, when a scripture is unlocked in your heart. So as we close, you're saying, I'm that man who have not come to a place of ascendancy, who has not yielded to the master as I ought to, who have not laid down my burden to take up his yoke. Put your hand in your chest, bow your head, and make this prayer. Father, come into my heart. Father, I yield myself again in total surrender. I am first yours before I am given to any other. Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. Unlock this knowledge of love. Unlock this power of love. Make me a person that is yielded in every area, in every way you have called me. Make me a person totally submitted to you. Make me a person who loves you, who presses into you. A person, God, that forever wants to see the establishment of the kingdom, who wants to see righteousness advancing in my way, advancing in my sphere, advancing in my home, who wants to see Jesus move in everything I do. Lord, come into my heart. Come into my heart today and open that fountain of life afresh in me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.